Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers? Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 15th, 2019, and I'm coming at you from the Ford F-150 work truck because it's early in the morning and I am heading to a paint job that I got to finish up today. And before I do, I wanted to drop an episode of the Grizz Podcast for this week. So that's what I'm doing. I'm here, got my Yeti mug with some hot black coffee in it. Let me grab a sip of that. Oh, it's a little too hot. Thought I would never say that, but it's a little bit too hot. I heated it up in the microwave before I left, and now it's scalding hot.
Yeah. Anyway,
I hope you are doing well. Hope you're having a good and productive week. Hope you're keeping your eyes on the Lord and fighting the good fight of faith. That's what I'm trying to do. The last week for me has been just challenging, difficult, not with my health issues, but just with family stuff, with marriage stuff. Things between me and my wife just feel like we're not getting along this past week. We were at each other, getting on each other's nerves, and then just, you know, some trouble with my teenagers, just on how to correct them and discipline them in the right way. Not be too hard on them, but not be too soft. And then there were some heated moments, and then, you know, they say something that's disrespectful, and then I say something back that is kind of taking a shot at them. And I won't get into all of it because, you know, it's our private, personal stuff that if it was just me, I would share it. But, you know, it's stuff with them, so I want to respect them. But just letting you guys know that it was one of those weeks for me. I have gone back and done my best to make amends and make peace and just try to make things right in our house. But it was just like, man, what is going on this week? I ended up calling a good friend of mine who has been a mentor in my life for 25 years and just busted out crying. Like, dude, I feel like I suck as a husband, as a father. I need some help. I'm like, oh man, just, I don't know how to do this sometimes. And he really encouraged me and just shared with me some good things that I need to be doing and not doing as a husband and as a dad. And he's helping me work through them. So I share all that just to let you guys know that I get it. And I don't want to have some kind of a podcast for Christian men where, you know, you tune in and you're just like, man, this Jason George guy, he's awesome. He not only drops good content, but man, his life, dude, he's just got it all together. I just want to be exactly where he's at. No, you don't. You don't. Man, I'm working through things just like the rest of you guys. Many, many times I feel like giving up on this kind of podcast because I'm like, man, who am I to do something like this? But I just try to remind myself that I'm not doing this to come across like I've got it all together. I'm not doing this to come across like, let me mentor you. It's really to encourage you and to equip you. And I always say that I'm just trying to be raw, real, and relevant. And part of that is, a big part of that is just sharing with you guys not only my victories and successes, but also my failures, my struggles, just the things I'm going through as just a regular Christian dude that is really striving to follow the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible that I read about in the scriptures, to understand who he is, to understand his ways and his teachings, and to follow and live that out, which means a lot of times I'm different, not only from the world, but just different from even this thing called Christianity here, especially in America, this thing called evangelicalism or conservatism. I'm not trying to follow any of that. I'm trying to follow Jesus. And there's a difference. There's a definite distinction. So anyway, I'm rabbit trailing. Don't want to get into all of that too much, but just sharing from my heart, man. Nothing from my notes yet. Just telling you what's going on inside of my head and my heart. And again, I hope you're having a good and productive week. I hope you're thriving. I hope, you know, your focus is right. But if it's not, if it's a horrible week, a sucky week, if you feel like giving up, if you're mad, frustrated, angry, pissed off, ready to throw in the towel, I get that too. Man, do I have weeks like that. I'm coming off of a week like that. It's definitely better in my house this week, but man, just one of those weeks again, like, what is going on? I mean, we're going to talk some today about the reality of spiritual warfare, and I'm not the type to blame the devil and demons for every single thing that's going wrong. I'm not like that, but at the same time, I did find myself just daily this week, praying against the enemy. Anything that would be opposing and coming against my marriage, my family, anything that is trying to bring discord, put a wedge between us, ruin us. Because sometimes I feel like many times that there's just so much more going on than what I'm seeing with my eyes. There's deeper stuff going on, really trying to derail me, discourage me, lead me into sin, turn back to the old ways. So anyway, in case you don't know, the enemy, well, I'm talking about Satan and his demons, they're real, and they want to take you down, and they want to take me down, because you're a man who is striving to live for Christ. That's why they want to take you down. That makes you a threat to their kingdom and their agenda in this fallen world. Now, you need to know that Satan and his demons are extremely smart and incredibly crafty at taking good men down. If you think about it, they've been doing it since the dawn of man. All you have to do is just read through your Bible. You'll see it again and again and again, and they're still doing it today. I mean, almost every month, it seems like we're reading a story or looking at a headline on the news about another prominent evangelical pastor who has fallen into horrible sin and been removed from his pastoral slash leadership position. 2 weeks ago on the Grizz podcast, I shared with you what I believe is the oldest and most effective strategy or tactic or device that the enemy uses to take good men down. It's a strategy known as the bait that hides the hook. And I learned about it from a 16th century Puritan preacher slash writer whose name is Thomas Brooks. You guys understand the word picture, the bait that hides the hook. a lot of you that are listening, you're fishermen, you're anglers. And even if you're not, I'm sure at some point in your life you went fishing, or you at least understand the concept of what's going on with fishing. When you go fishing, you don't just go and cast a hook into the water. You cast some sort of appealing bait into the water, like a worm, a minnow, a frog, some kind of a lure that looks like a crayfish, whatever you call them. Depends on what area of the country you're from. And there's a hidden hook inside of that bait. And you work that bait in front of the fish, and they see it, and they want it. And they may come and they may nibble at it a little bit, get a little taste, try it out, see if it's the real deal. Then one fish finally goes all in and he swallows it. And then you, the fisherman, who is in essence a trickster, a deceiver, that's what you're doing. You're trying to trick and deceive the fish. You rear back with your rod and you set the hook. The fish fights to get away, and we love that. We love the feel of when a fish is on the line and we've set the hook and you know you got him, but he's fighting. Man, that's the good part of fishing. I don't know why. That's the rush. That's the fun stuff. But the fish can fight to get away, but that is rarely the case because the sharp hook has sunk deep, and you're reeling them in, and you call home and you say, "Mama, get the frying pan ready because we're having fish tonight, baby." Now, this is the same deceitful strategy that the enemy uses on us as Christian men to take us down. He presents the bait and he hides the hook. And what do I mean by the bait? I'm talking about things like with sin, with temptation. He'll present, he only wants you to see, when it comes to sin and temptation, he only wants you to see the bait, which is things like instant gratification, immediate pleasure, the temporal gain that you'll get right away, status, comfort, relief, thrill, escape, etc. But he never shows you the misery that will most certainly follow after you take the bait. I'm talking about the destruction of your peace, your inner joy, your close fellowship with God. Not talking about destroying your relationship with God, talking about your fellowship, your intimacy, your closeness with God. It can destroy your marriage, your family, your ministry, your career, your witness, your reputation. Even your health can be affected. He's not going to show you any of the misery that's going to come and follow once you swallow the bait, once you give in to that instant gratification, immediate pleasure, temporary gain, that status that you long for, the comfort, the relief, the thrill, the escape from reality. That's all he'll show you. He won't show you the rest of what's to come. Many, listen to me, many good men, strong men, godly men have fallen for the bait that hides the hook. I know I have, and I have paid the price for it time and time again. I'm not talking about facing the punishment for my sin, as in going to hell when I die. I'm talking about, well, first of all, just want to make clear, that punishment has been taken for me at the cross by my Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer in him, that punishment for your sin has been taken for you as well. He bore our sins on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ. There's a spiritual exchange that took place. So when you sin, when you take the bait that hides the hook, and I talk about the consequences of that, I'm not talking about hell for those of us that are genuine believers, followers of Christ. I'm talking about the natural, painful consequences in this life that comes from disobeying God. There are natural, painful consequences in this life that will result when we disobey God. God disciplines and corrects his children when we choose sin over him. And it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. Hebrews 12 really gets into that. You can look that up for yourself, where it talks about if you're really a son of God, a child of God, he's going to discipline you. That's how you know that you're a son of God. And if you're continually dabbling into sin and taking the bait, and there's no kind of discipline or correction coming from God, then you need to be scratching your head and going, man, is God really, truly my father? Am I really, truly his son? Because I don't see any discipline in my life. I know that when I choose sin over God, there's always some sort of discipline and correction that comes in my life. You just got to have the spiritual eyes to see it. God has spanked me plenty of times. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so, oh, big truck going by. Let me grab a sip of my coffee. So that's a really long intro to some more stuff that I'm going to get into. This is part two of the bait that hides the hook. And old 16th century Thomas Brooks, he's going to give us one of the ways to not fall for that bait. He calls them remedies against Satan's devices. And that's what we're going to learn about on this episode. For the sake of time, I'm only going to get into one of his remedies to not fall for the bait that hides the hook. And again, what I mean by that, or what he means by that, is, okay, if this is the tactic, the strategy that the enemy uses the most throughout history to take good men down, the bait that hides the hook, what's a way to avoid that? That's what he means by he's got remedies against that. So that's where we're going to go. Here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
In this book that I keep referring to by Thomas Brooks, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, he, Thomas Brooks, begins by saying this: Christ, the scripture, your own hearts, and Satan's devices are the four primary things that should be first and foremost studied and understood. Christ, the scripture, your own heart, and Satan's devices are the four primary things that should be first and foremost studied and understood. So Thomas Brooks says that the first remedy or way to not fall for the bait that hides the hook, and many of you guys need to be relating this to things like sexual sin, especially looking at porn and masturbating to it. There's so much that he says here that goes with that. One of the ways to not fall for the bait that hides the hook, it sounds so simple that you're just like, well, duh, but yet we don't do it. That's the problem with us. Duh to us is remedy number one, keep yourself at the greatest distance from sin and from playing with the bait that Satan is trying to hook you with. That's the first remedy. That's the first way to not fall for the bait that hides the hook. If you're the fish in the lake, and you know over at this one end of the lake, there's a fishing pier, and there's always bait being thrown out at the fishing pier, then you don't go to that end of the lake. You stay the heck away. You go to the other side of the lake. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do. You keep it the greatest distance from sin and from playing with the bait that Satan is trying to hook you with. He cites Romans 12:9, which is a great verse. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. The Greek word for abhor is very significant. Thomas Brooks says it signifies to hate the evil thing as you hate hell itself, to hate it with horror. So, abhor, hate as you would hell itself, that evil thing, that bait, and cling to that which is good.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Keep it the greatest distance from sin and from playing with the bait that Satan is trying to hook you with. I don't know. Let me grab a sip of coffee. I don't know what that specifically looks like for you right now in your life, like what the bait specifically is for you that's tempting you lately. It could have to do with porn. It could have to do with alcoholism or a drug. It could have to do with an old girlfriend or an old set of friends that bring you down. It could have to do with something like going to a massage parlor, one of those kind. Or for some of you, a casino. It could have to do with certain foods or restaurants, fast food places. Whatever that sin is for you, you got to identify that. He says that the best way to not fall into the pit is to stay far away from the pit. He says the man who goes near the pit and starts dancing upon the edge of it is going to quickly find himself face down in the pit. In the Old Testament, he reminds us that Joseph stays far away from the pit. You know, when Potiphar's hot-looking wife was trying to seduce him, what did Joseph do? He fled. He abhorred what was evil, and he clung to that which is good. He did a Romans 12:9, and God rewarded him for that godly decision. Joseph's personal choice to choose God over sin brought blessings to himself and countless others. Dude, that's how it works, man. Your personal choices to choose God over sin brings blessing to not only yourself, but also to others. You may not see it in the moment, but just give it time. The Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in doing the right thing. Do not grow weary in choosing God over sin. Why? God goes on and says, because in due time, you will reap the reward for that. That's what Joseph did, and it worked out just as God said it would. There was great reward for his godly choice, his faithfulness. Now, King David, on the other hand, that's a much different story with a horrible, tragic outcome. King David danced upon the edge of the pit, and he fell face first into it. You remember the story. He had an adulterous sexual relation with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Who was Uriah the Hittite? He was actually one of David's loyal soldiers who was out at battle for the nation that David was king over. David had sex with his wife. David swallowed the bait that hides the hook. The bait, especially the bait of sexual sin, guys, it always has a sharp and painful hook. It affects us different than any other sin. The Apostle Paul talks about that in his letter to the church at Corinth. He says, flee sexual immorality. Greek word is porneia, from where we get our word pornography. Flee porneia. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body or his own self. Sexual sin affects us different than any other sin. Let's take a quick break and we'll dig into this some more.
Hey guys, I want to encourage you to sign up for Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability and Filtering. I've been a member of Covenant Eyes for well over 10 years, and it has helped me in my own fight for personal purity big time. As a man, you need to protect yourself and your family online. With a family account, each family member can have their own username, which can track all of that specific user's internet activity on their computer, smartphone, or other internet devices. For extra protection, you can add the Covenant Eyes filter at no extra cost. You can also install Covenant Eyes on all your devices, and there's no extra charge. Each week, you will receive a detailed email report of each user's internet activity. To personally guard myself, I have two of my friends receive a detailed email report of all of my internet activity that comes from my iPhone and my MacBook computer. If I uninstall or reinstall Covenant Eyes, they get notified of that as well. Just knowing that my two friends will see everywhere I go online, dude, that right there, it's been a game changer. I need it, and I won't go back to life without it. Guys, I've got a deal for you. You can sign up for Covenant Eyes and get the first 30 days completely free by just using the promo code GRIZZIN. That's right, GRIZZIN. GRIZZIN. After your 30 days are up, there's a small monthly fee. For individuals and couples, it's just $10.99 per month. For a family, it's just $14.99 per month. Most of you pay around that for your monthly subscription to Netflix. Guys, this is way more valuable than Netflix. So go to CovenantEyes.com and sign up today. And don't forget to use the promo code GRIZZIN for 30 days free. Now let's get back to the show. Yeah,
boy! King David suffered great pain and loss because of his sin. And so did those around him. His family suffered big time because of his sinful choices. It was disciplinary consequences from God for the sins that David committed. He has sex with Uriah the Hittite's wife. Her name's Bathsheba. And then to try to cover it up after she gets pregnant, he has Uriah killed. It turns to murder. And so, through Nathan the prophet, God told David that the sword would not depart from his house, 2 Samuel 12:10. Now, what did God mean by that? Well, look at what happened after David committed such horrible sins. Number one, four of his children ended up being killed. There was the son that he had with Bathsheba, the woman he had the sexual affair with, 2 Samuel 12:14, that child was killed. Amnon, his other son, was killed, 2 Samuel 13:29. Absalom, his other son, was killed, 2 Samuel 18:14. And then Adonijah was killed, 2 Samuel 16:22. Look at what happened. The sword will not depart from your house, David, because you've done these things. There are major consequences. He took the bait. Now here comes the hook. This is what we don't see, guys. It's what we need to see. Look beyond the bait. Look deep inside that bait, and you'll see what's coming. Four of his children were killed. Through Nathan the prophet, God also told David that his wives would be publicly humiliated before all of Israel. 2 Samuel 12:11. This was fulfilled when David's own son Absalom had sex with his father's own wives in the sight of all of Israel. Think about it, man. This all started with the bait that hides the hook. It all started with an obsessive desire to have sex with another man's wife. That was the alluring bait. But David had no clue of the deadly hook that was coming. Guys, we must remember that there's always a sharp and painful hook in the bait that looks so pleasurable. King David did not keep himself at the greatest distance from sin, like he did in his younger years when he was known as a man after God's own heart. As an older man, as king, he got comfortable and complacent, and he gazed at the bait that Satan dangled in front of him, which was Bathsheba bathing on a rooftop. He could see her from his room in his palace, and he made a personal choice to go all laser focused on her. We all do. He could have looked away. He could have fled and gotten out of there, just like Joseph did with Potiphar's hot-looking wife. He could have commanded his servants to make her, Bathsheba, go bathe somewhere more discreet, or to construct some sort of blinds around that part of her roof. For crying out loud, he's the king of Israel. He had the power to do all of that, but he didn't. All he saw was the bait. He didn't want to see anything else. He had complete tunnel vision. Many of us have been there many, many, many times, and we totally relate. Bathsheba, well, she was obviously something to behold, considering the fact that King David already had multiple wives and concubines to choose from sexually. But obviously, he had none like her. So there he was, secretly gazing at her as she was naked and bathing in the glistening sun of the Middle East. She turned him on. He desired to be with her sexually, but she didn't belong to him. Again, that's the problem. He wasn't married to her. She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of his faithful soldiers who was out to battle for Israel. As far as we know, Bathsheba had no idea that she was being peeped on by King David. It was Old Testament voyeurism. You didn't know that the Bible talked about voyeurism, did you? You thought that was something just for today with technology and hidden cameras and all that jazz. Nah, man. As wise old Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. It's been going on since the fall of man. Now, technology has definitely made it a whole lot easier, but voyeurism is nothing new. How many days had King David done that? How many days had he watched this gorgeous, naked, married Jewish woman bathing on a rooftop? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Personally, I don't think it was just a one-time occurrence, and then all of a sudden, he tells his servant to bring her to him so he can seduce her and have sex with her. That's not how adultery goes. It's a process. Sin is always a process. It's first in the eyes, in the heart, and in the mind long before the actual act occurs. There's some plotting that goes on inside a man's head and heart. No man wakes up one morning and decides to all of a sudden have sex with his secretary that day. No man wakes up one day and all of a sudden out of nowhere decides he's going to hire a prostitute. No man wakes up one day and just goes and gets with an underage girl. Nope, no way. That's not how it works. That man's been dancing near the edge of that pit for a long time. He's been looking and he's been thinking about biting at that bait for a long time before he actually goes through with it. Many of you listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. It's happened to you. It's happened to me. Sin always takes us farther than we ever intended to go, and it keeps us longer than we ever intended to stay. You play, and then you pay. That's the bait that hides the hook. Sin thrills, and then it kills. It fascinates, and then it assassinates. That's the bait that hides the hook. So again, the first remedy Thomas Brooks gives us to not fall prey to this satanic device is to keep at the greatest distance from sin and from playing with the bait that Satan is trying to hook you with. Romans 12:9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. I've got a friend. Want to talk about what this looks like practically? I got a friend who, instead of going to the pub each evening after work to get drunk so he can numb out to life's problems like he used to, he attends an AA meeting. I'm not saying going to a pub to have a drink is sinful for every person. I covered that issue back on episode 55, I believe it was. But for my friend, it's sinful for him. It's sinful for him to go to the pub after work. And it's harmful. Because for him, he takes it to excess, to where he is no longer in his right mind, no longer in reality. It becomes an addiction, an obsession that consumes him, that destroys him. How foolish would it be for him to go to the pub after work instead of AA and just have a cup of coffee? I'm just going to chill here in the pub, have a cup of coffee, not going to drink anything. Oh, there's my old buddies that I used to drink with. They're still here. They still get hammered every day. I'm just going to have coffee. What's up, guys? Oh, I see you throwing them down. I used to love that brand. He's dancing near the edge of the pit. I got another friend who chooses not to go near a casino or go in a casino because he had a gambling addiction. I'm not saying it's a sin for every person to go in a casino and go play a few games of Texas Hold'em or blackjack or whatever, but for my friend, he can't stay in control. He can't go in there and say, hey, my limit is $100. If I lose $100, I walk away. That's all I'm willing to gamble with. So he takes it to excess. He's out of control. He's almost ruined himself financially with that kind of thing. It could ruin his family, his business. And he does really well financially right now. And he's a smart investor right now. So he doesn't go near casinos. I've had some of you guys email me and tell me that you've removed social media apps from your smartphones. Apps like Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. Why? Because those apps were tempting you to look and lust at images of females who are not your wife. You were edging. Like my friend the Dauber talks about over at Porn Free Radio. You were edging. I've been there. Been there, done that. That's what Thomas Brooks is talking about. You're doing whatever, you got to do whatever it takes to keep at the greatest distance from sin, the bait, even if that means removing certain apps from your phone. Certain apps that a lot of people would say, well, that app in and of itself is not porn. That app in and of itself is not sinful. I mean, okay. But for you, it baits you. And you know that there's a hook coming. You don't go near it. You got to eliminate access to it. There's nothing I'm telling you to do that I'm not doing in my own life. I myself have to do numerous things to keep myself away from the bait. It's a choice we have to make every single day. And just because you haven't fallen for the bait in months or years or whatever, don't Don't get so cocky to think that it can't happen. Man, I've learned that. When we think, man, I got this beat. I don't struggle with that anymore. I'm good. Oh, my brothers from other mothers, listen to me. It's just what that verse says. To him who thinks he stands, take heed. You need to take heed lest you fall. Don't get so cocky. You're not in heaven yet. You're still susceptible, vulnerable, capable of giving in to that thing that you're like, man, I got 5-10 years of sobriety. I'm good. Hey, I help other guys now. I help other guys get out of that. Yeah, that's great. You are underestimating the power of sin and temptation, and you are overestimating your own power, your own strength, your own resistance. And that's foolish. That's extremely dumb. So Thomas Brooks gives us a few more remedies, but I've given you enough to chew on for this episode. So chew on it and then go make the positive changes that you need to make in your life. I'm doing the same, my brothers, and this is just good stuff for all of us. All right, couple closing items of Grizz Biz. Let me grab a sip of coffee.
Drop!
I am on week 6 of the keto diet. I'm down from 215 pounds, right around there, to about 201 is what I weighed in the other morning. And with the keto diet, it is a high fat, but trying to take in the good fats. Yes, there are good fats. And moderate amount of protein and very low carbs. I've basically eliminated sugar. And things like pasta, rice, breads, all of that. And I'm on week 6. So yes, I've lost weight. That's not the main reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it to see if it helps me with, my chronic Lyme issues, because it has been discovered medically, scientifically, that it has helped people with things like epilepsy, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and even cancer. And so I heard, some of you know this guy, Tim Ferriss has a very popular podcast. And then there's another guy who came up with Bulletproof Coffee. His name eludes me right now, but, they both had Lyme and they were swearing by the keto diet that it helped them big time with their symptoms and their chronic inflammation. So I'm down from 215 to 201. I have less migraines, less joint pain, less fatigue, less brain fog, less nausea. Now, I haven't done keto perfectly. I cheated a few times, and that really messed me up. I fell into sin with a bag of Doritos one night because I love Doritos. We had them in the house because my son had a couple guys sleeping over, and, you know, they got pizza, Doritos, all that stuff, and everybody went to bed, and I just ripped into them. Of course, I can't just eat like a handful. I eat the whole bag. And then one night, we got Papa John's pizza, and it was pepperoni and sausage. And I was like, my gosh, that looks good. You talk about the bait that hides the hook right there, baby. So I didn't go crazy. I had two pieces. But it's enough because of the dough. It knocks me out of ketosis. And ketosis is actually a biological thing that happens where your body, instead of running off of the glucose and the sugars and all of that, it begins to run off of the fats. It burns the fat in your body. And you can get knocked out of that really easily. And it takes days to get back into that state. So haven't done it perfectly, but I'm making progress. So that's a little bit of an update with my keto diet and stuff. I have received recently some feedback from you guys, the listeners to the podcast, the Grizz Tribe, and I'm hoping on the next episode, I just want to go through and read some recent emails and, reviews that we've gotten on iTunes. It's always good hearing from you guys. I love hearing from you. Heard from one of you guys this week, that is actually, here in the Maryland area for a while, and you said that you want to get coffee and hang out, and I am all for that. So we're going to do that this week. You know who you are, Kevin. If you would like to email me with any questions, comments, ideas, prayer requests, my email is jason@narrowtrail.com. Also, if you would be interested in ever having me come and speak at your youth or men's event, you can go to narrowtrail.com. There's a page there that's called Jay's Speaking Info. And just click on that. You can find out more about me coming and speaking. You can fill out an online booking form. I'm not an expensive speaker. Let me just say that up front. So if you're interested, let's talk and we'll see if we are a good fit for each other. Also, if the Grizz Podcast is a blessing to you and it's helping you in your life as a Christian man, would you please consider becoming a monthly financial supporter? If so, you can do that and set that up at narrowtrail.com/give. The Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. Narrow Trail is a legitimate 501c3 nonprofit organization that I founded back in 2010. Last thing, if you would like to join our closed Facebook group for Christian men, it's called the Grizz Tribe, then go on Facebook, look it up, and you can request to do that. Now, you got to answer a few questions correctly. I think there's 3 questions, and if you answer them correctly, then you're in, dude. It's nothing deep, no deep Bible trivia or anything, just kind of asking who you are and why you want to be in this group and what you're committing to by being in the group. So that's it. I'm going to close out this episode with a classic rap tune. I'm going to drop the beat right about now. Some of you are going, oh, yeah, this was my jam. So here you go. We're going to go out with this. Going to let it play for a little bit and then fade out. My brothers from other mothers, sincerely, thanks for listening, man.
I was a fiend before I became a teen. I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream, music orientated. So when hip hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzle, complicated. Cause I grabbed the mic and try to say yes, y'all. They try to take it and say that I'm too small. Cool, cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet back to the lab without a mic to grab. So then I add all the rhymes I had, one after the other one. Then I make another one to diss the opposite, then ask if the brother's done. I get a craving like I fiend for nicotine, but I don't need a cigarette. Know what I mean? I'm raging, creeping up the stage, and don't it sound amazing? Cause every rhyme is made and thought of, cause it's sort of an addiction, magnetized by the mixing. Vocals, vocabulary, and verses just stuck in. The mic is a drain, no volcanoes erupting. Rhymes overflowing, gradually growing. Everything is written in the code so it can coincide. My thoughts to God. 48 tracks to slide, the invincible microphone fiend Rakim. Spread the word, cause I'm N-E-F-F-E-C-T. A smooth operator operating correctly. But back to the problem, I got a habit, you can't solve it. Silly rabbit, the prescription is a hypertone. That's heroin, I fiend for a microphone like heroin. Soon as the bass kicks, I need a fix. Give me a stage and a mic and a mix, and I'll put you in a mood. Or is it a state of unawareness? Beware, it's the reanimator. A menace to a microphone, a lethal weapon or assassinator. If the people ain't stepping, you'll see a part of me that you never seen.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.